Today's show is sponsored by Talkspace, the online therapy company. For a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, you can pick an experienced, licensed therapist you relate to and feel comfortable with. Each and every therapist has at least a master's degree and has completed over 3,000 hours of supervised work. To match with your perfect therapist, go to Talkspace.com/boom. And to show your support for this podcast, use code BOOM to get $30 off your first month. That's BOOM, Talkspace.com/boom, B-O-O-M.
It's Victory Monday here on Locked On Broncos, brought to you by MyBookie.ag, one of the premier sports books in the industry. And what a win it was for the Denver Broncos in late dramatic fashion, 16-10 over the Oakland Raiders. The Denver Broncos faced a lot of adversity throughout the game. Obviously, after starting off on fire, the Denver Broncos offense continues to struggle in second half play, as well as the defense being forced to come up big. And Brandon McManus continues to struggle with consistency and kicking the ball. We break down the whole game here on tonight's edition of Locked On Broncos.
Locked On Broncos, your daily podcast on the Denver Broncos, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Like I said at the opening of the show, it is Victory Monday here on Locked On Broncos, and the Denver Broncos coming off a 16-10 big win over divisional opponent, the Oakland Raiders. Obviously, the Denver Broncos are now 2-0 in division play, which plays a very pivotal role as soon as playoff implications start, you know, to come to fruition late in December. But we're a long ways away from that. But obviously a 2-0 divisional start in the AFC West gives the Denver Broncos a head up on the Oakland Raiders, who are, in my opinion, a perennial playoff contending team. Now, the only undefeated team left in the NFL is the Kansas City Chiefs, and that matchup is coming here very shortly here in the next month with the Denver Broncos. I believe Shane Ray is poised to make his return against the Kansas City Chiefs on Monday Night Football, so that's big news for the Denver Broncos. But big 16-10 win, like I said, anytime you can go in and win against your divisional rival, and obviously a heated rivalry that the Denver Broncos and the Oakland Raiders have, that is a huge and monumental for the season, obviously. And it comes at a right time for the Denver Broncos heading into a bye week. Now, what we've seen in the first half for the Denver Broncos of this season, obviously first half being games before a bye week. Now, the Denver Broncos usually haven't had a hard time starting off the game on fire, offensively clicking on all cylinders, you know, executing the run and the pass. Now, the Denver Broncos, in the last 2 weeks, we can look back at the Buffalo Bills game, who, by the way, I think they're a tremendous team. Like I've said, the last 2 weeks here on Locked On Broncos, they're a pretty good football team, and now they're 3-1, and obviously leading the AFC East early on right now, and the New England Patriots fell today as well, so that's good news. Broncos win yesterday, and the Buffalo Bills win, and that keeps the New England Patriots down in the AFC East, so that's awesome news for the AFC in general. So back to the Broncos Raiders game. Trevor Siemian came out and threw 16 of 26 passes for 179 yards and one touchdown. He finished with a 94.9 quarterback rating. Now, he opened up the first half very consistent. He was flowing. He was firing. He looked very good. And he obviously connected with AJ Derby on a beautiful one-handed touchdown, catch and run. I think a lot of it was the flow, too. The offensive flow in the first half was very important for the Denver Broncos, mostly in the first quarter, midway into the second quarter. And then you faced, you know, a couple of errors here and there, obviously generating pressure that the Oakland Raiders did with Khalil Mack, Bruce Irvin, Mario Edwards Jr. Trevor Siemian late in the game kind of went away. He felt the pressure a little bit, and he went away from what we saw in the first half, and that's just being aggressive and throwing the ball. Instead, he was a little more hesitant going into the second half, and he held on to the ball a little too much on multiple possessions, which either resulted in a sack or a penalty by a hold, or, you know, he threw the ball away and the Denver Broncos were forced to either punt. Now, the recipe for this game going into the fourth quarter, the Denver Broncos were kind of on their heels a little bit. Now, the defense was playing pretty phenomenal, but they got away from doing what they were doing and they started playing a little off coverage. So, you know, the Denver Broncos got a tremendous pressure and rush on Derek Carr, who took a knee to the back and he was out for the remainder of the game. So in steps EJ Manuel, who connected on, I believe, 8 for 8 on a, you know, on the drive where he led the Oakland Raiders down the field. Now, the Denver Broncos were playing off coverage in that point and became a little less aggressive in their game plan. You know, they did stack the box a little bit, but the Oakland Raiders spread the ball out a little bit, and more so for E.J. Manuel to avoid him getting sacked by Von Miller. He already got sacked once by Von in the game on a third down play, but they decided to go to the quick throwing game. So the Denver Broncos DBs were about 9 to 10 yards off the ball, and therefore E.J. Manuel threw quick hitches, obviously some slants, some dig routes, and obviously capitalized on several seam routes. Now, he found Jared Cook on several throws, but Jared Cook just couldn't catch the ball. He dropped a touchdown in the right corner of the end zone, and he also dropped a touchdown, what would have been over Will Parks. Surefire touchdown, pretty much in the end zone. The Denver Broncos got lucky, in my opinion. Now, ideally, the 16-10 win is nice, but the Denver Broncos left some points out on the field and some yards out there on the field. Overall, I believe the execution in the second half just wasn't there, and there were a lot of elements that disrupted the Broncos' flow from continually progressing down the field. Now, Brandon McManus is a key point I really want to talk about here, because he has been very inconsistent this year, and it all started after he signed his contract extension week one before the Broncos played the Los Angeles Chargers on Monday Night Football. He came in and he missed a 29-yard chip shot field goal today, and to be honest with you, I'm not sure what it is with Brandon McManus this year, and he's kind of gotten a long ways away from what he was last year. Last year, he was very confident, and even the year the Denver Broncos won the Super Bowl in 2015, he was absolutely confident. Now, I'm starting to wonder if the fact that he does have his contract now, he has the money, he's been paid, he's got his extension, and there's not another kicker on the roster that can kind of challenge him, you know, to perform to the best of his ability. Now, the Denver Broncos are leaving points out on the field because he's become very inconsistent with his kicks, and he had a good week last week, but this week, missing a 29-yard field goal late in the game, obviously, that is very dreadful. Now, if the Denver Broncos come back and if they lost this game, let's say 17-16 to the Oakland Raiders, this game solely falls on Brandon McManus. Now, luckily for the Broncos, that wasn't the case, as obviously they won 16-10, but you can't leave points on the field, especially from your kicker who just got paid. He's a franchise kicker. You just can't have those kind of mistakes. So I'm hoping that Brandon McManus shakes off whatever slump or whatever routine he's going through that's causing him to miss these field goals that he's usually money from. We need to get back to Brandon McMoney and no longer Brandon McMack, because the big thing is it's just killing the flow of the game, momentum. And now we can go back to the Los Angeles Chargers game on Monday Night Football where he missed that field goal. And then on the next play, the Los Angeles Chargers scored on a touchdown bomb. Now that's a momentum changer, and that right there can absolutely hurt a team. You can't make those kinds of mistakes against teams like the New England Patriots, or let alone any powerhouse team that you might play in the AFC or the NFC, especially with a lot of teams in a tough schedule we had this year. Specifically, in my opinion, the Washington Redskins, Philadelphia Eagles, the New England Patriots. You still have a lot of games. The Kansas City Chiefs, you can't do that against those types of teams because that will come back to haunt you. And so Brandon McManus has a bye week now coming up this week where maybe they can get back to basics, the Denver Broncos as a whole, and especially Brandon McManus, work on the kick and figure out in the film what's wrong. Is it the holder? Is it the snap? Is it the placement? What is it? You got to go back through and you got to look at the analogy of a play. Now, I'm going to go back on the Broncos film as well when I get the all 22 coaches film, and I'm going to look and see if there's any trend that I can pick up that maybe sees why Brandon McManus is struggling. Now, the 29-yard chip shot field goal that he could have made was just was left. It was left. It wasn't centered, and it hit the upright. It hit the bar, and that usually shouldn't happen from that distance. Usually, that's less than an extra point would be in the NFL right there. So part of me is really struggling to wonder what's going on with Brandon McManus struggles. Tweet me your thoughts on what you think about Brandon McManus and his latest struggles, obviously with consistency in the kicking game, at Locked On Broncos, at Cody Rourke NFL. So now let's get on to the defensive side of the ball real quick before we dive into a deep analysis of the offensive struggles and successes. But before we get into that, I want to tell you about mybookie.ag. Now, with all the sports books out there, I don't trust anybody more than I trust mybookie.ag. With the element of fantasy sports that we have in today's society with FanDuel, DraftKings, and all these other contests that promise you prizes and money payouts if you decide to participate and play in what they have for the weekly special. But mybookie.ag is one of the most reliable sports books out there amongst all sports books. And I trust them because they promise to pay you within 48 hours of your winnings, and that they do. When you win at mybookie.ag, you receive your first deposit within 48 hours of your winnings. No more waiting a week and a half for you to receive your check from FanDuel or DraftKings. No more shady insider trading going on in the realms of fantasy sports, because mybookie.ag is 100% secure. And with that, they're promising you right now, if you head over there and sign up and use the promo code LOCKEDON, you will receive up to a 100% deposit bonus, meaning if you spend $1,000 in your sign up, they will give you an extra $1,000 as well when you sign up. So therefore, you can start out on mybookie.ag with $2,000 and potentially maximize your profits in sports betting. Mybookie.ag, one of the premier guys out there. Head over to mybookie.ag right now, sign up, use the deposit code LOCKEDON, and receive it to a 100% deposit bonus, and play and start winning today over at mybookie.ag. So let's talk about defense, baby. Obviously, the Denver Broncos defense has been a bright focal point for this team over the last several years, but not a lot of people really understand how well put together this Denver Broncos defense is. Now, today, they had many instances where they bent but didn't break, and I'm okay with that. However, obviously, game is being stressful, obviously, in a close game, and they're driving, and there's little things where you know, not generating pass rush on the quarterback. That stuff gets frustrating at times, but let's take a look at how good this Denver Broncos defense is and what they did today. Obviously, overall, a big focal point in the offseason was to be able to stop the run. Now, over the last four games, the Denver Broncos and the tailbacks that they faced have had a total of 50 carries for only 95 yards, and that's against LeSean McCoy, Melvin Gordon, Ezekiel Elliott, and today in Marshawn Lynch, where they held the Oakland Raiders to only 24 yards rushing today. Now, that stat right there is impressive in and of itself. Now, the Denver Broncos get a bye week to get some guys healthy. And obviously, maybe Shane Ray's creeping up for that return against Kansas City on Monday Night Football. But the Denver Broncos will head into this week with a bye week, and then they'll return next weekend, not next weekend, but the weekend after, on Sunday Night Football against the New York Giants. They come to town for the Mile High. That's going to be a huge game for the Denver Broncos. But right now, the defense is one of the best rush defenses in the National Football League, and they're currently top four in the NFL in pass defense as well. So, like I said, 50 total carries between four tailbacks for only 95 yards is absolutely phenomenal. That's very impressive. Okay, when you think about it, a lot of tailbacks, each tailback in the National Football League, each starting tailback usually averages maybe 23 carries, and at most, if they have a good day, you see a final stat line about 25 carries, 105 yards. Well, the Denver Broncos have played, like I said, Ezekiel Elliott, LeSean McCoy, Marshawn Lynch, Melvin Gordon, and totally, Melvin Gordon had the most rushing yards on him. Okay, so think about that. After that, they held Ezekiel Elliott to only 9 yards, and obviously, Marshawn Lynch to just 24 yards today. So 50 total carries between four pretty good tailbacks for only 95 yards. The run game for the opposing teams just isn't there against this Denver Broncos, obviously front four, and the D-line has played phenomenal. Now, guy who stepped up on the defensive line, in my opinion, who's been a question mark for me in the offseason, was Adam Gotsis. Now, last year when I watched Adam Gotsis on film, I was not really impressed with what I saw. I was wondering what kind of project he was, but it looked like he's gotten the weight room this summer, and he's become more physical, more aggressive, and that's a big thing for the Denver Broncos. Now, obviously, bringing and a guy like Domantas Pekko, he's been absolutely huge in plugging the run game up the middle. And obviously, you got guys like Derek Wolfe, as well as Shaq Barrett, Von Miller, Todd Davis on the inside, Brandon Marshall on the inside. I'm pretty impressed with the Denver Broncos run defense. That was an area where they drastically were hurting and struggling last season, was stopping the opposing run. Now, obviously, this year, they're off to a good start with a 3-1 record. Heading into a bye week, you have a chance to get some guys rested up. Obviously, some guys are banged up from injury. They have time to heal it up a little bit, but now you get to go back to the drawing board and see where you can improve defensively. Now, defensively, I think the Denver Broncos can improve in several areas. Now, I'm going to tell you what they are here. We've seen that the Denver Broncos can generate pressure on the quarterbacks. Now, in four games, the Denver Broncos have generated about 69 pressures in just four games. However, they don't have a lot of sacks. You know, ideally, when we watch opposing offenses, they usually double team or chip Von Miller. We saw a lot of the Oakland Raiders do that this week. They use the tailback to chip Von Miller in passing situations certain times. So ideally, you think that frees up Shane Ray when he returns, but you think it would have shored up for Shaquille Barrett to come in and make some sacks. Now, Shaquille Barrett had a pretty good game against the Oakland Raiders. Los Angeles Chargers, Dallas Cowboys, and the Buffalo Bills. But when you go back and you look at the film, the Denver Broncos aren't getting as many sacks as they're used to, or at least that we're used to seeing over the last couple years in this current defense. Now, a lot of the scheme is very similar. Joe Wood's scheme to Wade Phillips is very similar. However, there are just some missing elements, and I think that obviously goes to show how much that DeMarcus Ware meant to this Denver Broncos team. And Shane Ray, obviously, when Shane Ray was the Denver Broncos DN last year, when DeMarcus Ware came in on situational downs, Shane Ray was an absolute huge piece for the Denver Broncos, and they haven't had that. But Shaquille Barrett's done a very good job stepping up in his absence. Now it's going to be hard for Shane Ray to come back and immediately steal minutes away or snaps away from Shaquille Barrett. But the Denver Broncos defensively have to figure out ways that they can get to the quarterback and actually sack the quarterback. And they just haven't done a lot of that this year so far in just four games. Now that can always improve, and I'm looking forward to seeing it improve. The run defense has improved. The pass defense is still pretty dang good. Bradley Roby's having a very underrated year, in my opinion. He's playing really well. And obviously they held Amari Cooper to one catch total. And Amari Cooper's absolutely disappeared this year for the Oakland Raiders. And obviously a big element was the Denver Broncos got to, you know, Derek Carr late in the third quarter, fourth quarter, and he got injured. Unfortunately for him, hope he's okay. But then EJ Manuel came in and they just started chucking the ball down the field. Now with EJ Manuel, like I said, the Denver Broncos are playing off coverage. They're playing a little soft coverage there, and they're rushing everybody on the inside, but they'd go out with three receivers to one side, tight end and one receiver on the other side, or leak the tailback out or use the tailback to chip and obviously help in pass pro. That kind of hurt the Denver Broncos a little bit because it was the quick passing game. Now I understand it's late in the game, and obviously, you know, they were in a cover two man under on the last play where EJ Manuel threw it up and Justin Simmons rose up and he was in position. Now a lot of people were looking at it and thought Bradley Roby got beaten coverage. No, Bradley Roby in a two-man under coverage has the ability to play underneath coverage because you do have safety help over the top, and that's exactly what he did. He trailed underneath, and while it looked like he was burnt, he really wasn't. He was in perfect trail technique, and Justin Simmons, luckily, played his position right and was open.
There is more to me, Queen Eliara of Elfgard, than my elven magic. Just as there's more to Geico than saving you money, Geico also gives you 24/7 access to licensed agents online, on the phone, or on the Geico app. And while I am a mighty elf queen, I am also a mighty big fan of barbecue potato chips. Minions! More smoky mesquite.
Geico. Expect great savings and a whole lot more.
Over the top of Amari Cooper, and he elevated it up for the interception. That was very, very huge for the Denver Broncos, and obviously that sealed it for them. Now, looking at the Denver Broncos offensively, before we get off air here, there are a lot of areas that they have to address specifically in finding an established balance with the run game and pass game, obviously going in the second half. Now, the Denver Broncos, like I said in the beginning of the show, in the first half of the game, they were firing on all cylinders. They were converting on third down. They were finding open guys. Pass protection was pretty great. The run game was breaking holes open, and CJ Anderson had himself a day, and so did Jamal Charles, and even Devontae Booker, who saw his first game action since coming back from injury. He was doing a lot better. He came in, got some carries, moved the chains a little bit, and got some yardage to help out the Denver Broncos. Now, what hurt the Denver Broncos were obviously penalties. For the second week in a row, penalties have killed the Denver Broncos' offensive momentum. And obviously, Demaryius Thomas has been kind of hit and miss so far in the last 2 weeks. We haven't seen a lot of him. Seen some big plays from Emmanuel Sanders. But today, the difference maker was tight ends. A.J. Derby obviously being a big factor. Benny Fowler's been a consistent piece for Trevor Siemian as a weapon. The continued struggles that we are witnessing come from the tackle position. Now, Max Garcia absolutely he struggled. He had a very tough game, and he's got a lot going on in his life, obviously, with the situation down in Puerto Rico. He obviously lost his grandfather. You know, Lockdown Broncos would like to take a moment to express our condolences for Max Garcia and his family as they obviously look to rebuild over there in Puerto Rico after the horrible hurricane and the event that they had there. So we got to unite on that front. But the ideal thing when you look at it is Max Garcia struggled today in a lot of situations, gave up a bull rush. Alan Barber came in and played a little more solid. I'm not sure exactly why Max Garcia isn't playing to the level that we used to see him play a couple years ago, but he's kind of regressed, taking a step back. And obviously teams are attacking Menelik Watson. Now there was a play where Menelik Watson got hurt, and then Donald Stevenson came in and immediately gave up a sack to Khalil Mack. And it appeared that there was a fumble on the play, but Trevor Siemian's knee was down. Ideally, in the second half, when I look at it, the balance and play calling and just the plays just weren't working. There was no aggressiveness, and there didn't feel like there was any kind of, you know, urgency going on the offensive side of the ball in the second half. So that's got to change drastically. So be sure right now to tweet me your thoughts at Cody Rourke NFL, at Lockdown Broncos, on what your thoughts is on the Denver Broncos offense this past week or the past 2 weeks and why they're struggling, what they can do to obviously improve and get better going forward. Why is the offense struggling and what can Trevor Siemian do better? Obviously, I said it during the show. I think Trevor Siemian had several plays where he held onto the ball a little too long and he didn't trust his read and he kind of got out of the pocket. And that's where we start seeing him throw the ball out of bounds or, you know, hearing footsteps and kind of forcing plays that don't need to be there. Obviously, having some time to step up in the pocket. But then there are also a lot of plays where Trevor Siemian really didn't have a pocket to sit in and throw. And obviously that the pocket collapsed with outside pressure with Khalil Mack, obviously Bruce Irvin, Mario Edwards Jr., guys who disrupted it. And obviously the Raiders did everything they can to get to Trevor Siemian, but it just didn't work out to the way that they wanted to. Obviously, I thought the Denver Broncos did a pretty good job at not turning the ball over. You know, there were several key plays. You know, Trevor Siemian didn't throw an interception this week. And while he only had one touchdown pass, you can't hang your hat on Trevor Siemian's performance. You know, he did pretty well managing the game. Now, obviously, they've got to get better. Trevor Siemian's got to get a lot better as well. Now, the run game for the Denver Broncos obviously exploded off a little bit. And we saw that. We absolutely saw that. C.J. Anderson and Jamaal Charles had an absolute heyday once again. And C.J. Anderson had 20 carries for 95 yards, broke off a huge 40-yard run late in the third quarter. And Jamaal Charles came in and he moved the chains. He had 5 carries for 33 yards and helped out in the passing game. I think the Denver Broncos will start to utilize him more on third down and passing situations where they can dump it out to the tailback. Obviously, they ran a little quick draw screen on him and he picked up the first down. So Jamaal Charles is getting better. He's getting better and he's looking a lot more comfortable. And obviously, A.J. Derby led receivers with 4 catches, 75 yards, a touchdown, and Benny Fowler with 2 catches for 35 yards. The Denver Broncos just have to get going a little more offensively in the second half and can't afford to take plays off. You know, I'm very impressed with the Broncos win. A huge win. Like I said, anytime you go up 3-1 on the season, heading into a bye week, 2-0 in division play, that's absolutely huge. And Vance Joseph, I think, has done a good job through 4 weeks. And I think, you know, he's still learning. And I think all the coaches are still learning. I think they're going to get a lot better. Also, after the game, head coach Vance Joseph addressed the team on their effort and performance, beating the Oakland Raiders yesterday 16-10. Here's his post-game speech.
First quarter of the season, 3-1. Yep. Okay, 3-1, man. That was the goal on Monday morning. Okay, nice job. Okay, great week of work, man. Okay, it wasn't perfect, but a win's a win. Okay, sure. You guys kept grinding on both sides of the ball, man. Okay, and the end result is our win. All right, man. Game ball. Okay, 31, man. You ended, okay? Good job.
Hey, this play couldn't have happened without a team effort, man. There's no individuals on this team. I appreciate y'all.
Hey, Broncos on 3, 1, 2, 3.
Obviously, a huge win for the Denver Broncos. Justin Simmons ending the game with a high point interception where he picked off EJ Manuel's floater up to Amari Cooper. I haven't seen a safety like that elevate for a ball in quite some time. So Justin Simmons, hats off to you. You are looking like a bright spot for the Denver Broncos. Obviously, the Broncos safeties and the DBs got to work on a few things in the coverage game. But overall, I'm absolutely impressed with the Denver Broncos week in and week out. And while this last game was stressful, the Denver Broncos win is all that matters. And I think that's all we care about at the end of the day. So this is your host, Cody Rourke, saying good night and go Broncos. Obviously, Lockdown Broncos brought to you by MyBookie.ag. Go Broncos. No fly zone. It's Miller time. We'll see you tomorrow for another edition of Lockdown Broncos.